This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. When we talk about recovery, the conversation is usually focused on the internal work that we need to do to get on track. Our physical and social environments are just as important if we want to stay on a healthy path. With rents rising all across the country, most of us need to live with a roommate. And the right roommate can make all the difference when we're focused on sobriety and recovering from something in our lives. My guest today, Jesse Sandler, created My Sober Roommate, a free online community that makes it easy for sober people to connect with like-minded roommates. Jesse's here today to talk to us about why he created My Sober Roommate and the pivotal role that our environments play in our recovery. Jesse, so honored, so excited to have you with me today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I love, obviously, everything that you do, and I'm especially coming up with this concept of helping people find a roommate and creating an environment that really serves them and creates, you know, a sense of safety. So can you tell me a little bit about your story, how you came up with this, and how this all came to be?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm a clinical social worker. I work out in Los Angeles, and I started my career at UCLA in the neuropsych hospital, and now I work in an intensive outpatient program working with young adults who are recovering from drug addiction, depression, anxiety. And I would sit with my clients, and part of my role was to, you know, help them figure out how to really change their lives. And part of that was to get them out of their toxic living environments. And I would sit in my office with my clients, and we'd go on the internet and we'd look around, and there was absolutely nothing out there for them to link up with other sober people to live with. And you know, in my experience, I saw that people oftentimes when they were trying to get clean and live a healthy lifestyle, if they were living with other people who were still using drugs, they were far more likely to relapse and fall back into those old patterns. And on the flip side, in the beginning stages of recovery, if you move into a place on your own, you're far more likely to isolate, and isolation leads to bad places sometimes as well. So decided to create mysoberroommate.com.
That's fantastic. I mean, I work with people on a daily basis that are recovering and doing that one-on-one work, and also to really like make sure that they understand the importance of creating a safe environment, because so many people are excited. They just want instant gratification. They want to get their life going. They want to get back to school, get back to work, and they have all of a sudden all these things on their plates. And if you don't have a safe space to return to at the end of the day to kind of continue that routine of self-care, self-love, self-compassion, really things can fall through the cracks really fast.
Absolutely.
So how do you get people to see that this is also part of self-care and creating a better relationship with themselves by honoring their space, by honoring their environment? You know, I think that people in recovery want to just quickly, you know, fast forward and just get to, like, you know, the end of their goal instead of understanding that all these little steps have to be put in place.
Absolutely. You know, like you said, the end goal is oftentimes that's a stumbling block. I try to help my clients see that really the path is the goal, and to really nurture themselves every day and to, you know, to sort of keep themselves on track and accountable each and every day, and, you know, setting small, measurable, achievable goals for themselves. And one of those is absolutely living in a safe environment. You know, I've actually read your book, and I really like the section on where you talk about isolation versus what was the word
solitude.
You used? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that the, you know, being able to really have that solitude and know the difference between having solitude versus isolation, really nurturing yourself, that's such it's such a crucial part. Because if you, like you said, when you get back into your, you know, quote unquote real life, things are going to come at you really fast, and it's so important to have that space where you can really recharge yourself and nurture that spiritual side.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you if you have any tips for people that are kind of getting to this place of like, you know, they've been through a treatment center or they're in an outpatient mm-hmm. program, and now they're really trying to create a new identity for themselves. Do you have any tips on like a routine or anything that you help your clients with kind of establish? Yeah.
Absolutely. I talk with my clients about I call it a 5-pillar model, and the 5 basically like foundational behaviors I like people to focus on in the beginning stages of their recovery. And those 5 things are sleep, hygiene, exercise, intake, which you put into your body, and your social. So sleep is, you know, getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, making sure that you're on top of that. Hygiene, making sure that you're brushing your teeth and showering every day. And I actually, in part of hygiene, I actually put like electronic hygiene, making sure that you're checking your inbox frequently, and you know, you're not letting emails pile up, because people get overwhelmed with that. So I think electronic hygiene is important as well. So sleep, hygiene, exercise, making sure you're getting 45 minutes cardiovascular exercise at least 3 or 4 times a week. You know, oftentimes people, that's a hard one for people, especially in the beginning stages, but it's so important for your mood. Intake, what you put into your body, making sure that you're drinking enough water, making sure you're not drinking caffeine late in the day, making sure you're eating your veggies and your fruits, and also sunlight, making sure you're getting out and getting some sun, and social, making sure you're with people. And I think that's part of the roommate piece, is living with people who are like-minded and are also committed to a healthy lifestyle.
I love all those. And I personally, I think probably am on those 5-pillar plan. Personally try and walk the walk and try to make sure that I am mindful of all these things. And I think it's, you know, it's, for me, someone that's, I've been, you know, I've been in my recovery for 9 years. I, you know, my path is different than others, but I think that, you know, people say like, oh, what is, you know, what was pivotal in your life that, you know, kind of you created your own recipe for healthy living. And I would, and I really would include all 5 of those things. So I really appreciate you saying that, because I think that, you know, we all have a different plan when it comes to our life, our recovery, whatever you want to call it, whatever words you want to use. The fact of the matter is we have to find our own individual path, because I am not you. What works for you may not work for me. Some people go to the 12-step meeting. Some people do meditation. Some people are more into Buddhism. Some people are exercise, but it's really important, I think, that we all try things. It's something that is important for me to talk about with people is to be open-hearted and open-minded to trying new things and not be afraid of changing.
Absolutely. And then, you know, to not close the door before you even got there.
So, right, exactly. You know,
the quote from Henry Ford, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah,
so really trying to help people have that open mind and think that they actually can change their lives and can do things. That's the empowering role that I try to take with my clients. So
yeah. Absolutely. And it's all mental, I think. I mean, I think everything is in our minds, our thoughts. Do you work with people on changing that self-talk, the thoughts, and maybe some old agreements they made with themselves that aren't serving them any longer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually specialize in cognitive therapy. So self-talk is a huge part of my daily routine with my clients, and really trying to have them recognize and become aware of the distorted patterns of thinking that they've fallen into and really trying to change those. It can make a big difference in people's lives. It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. But if you know, if you're someone that where I see people sabotage themselves, like with the living situation, is like, you know, they are not even aware, but like they set themselves up to live with someone that is partying or using, or they don't even know them when they move in with them. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I didn't know this person, you know, smokes pot or does this or does that, whatever the behavior is, and before they know it. But I think it's a set up behavior, because it's almost like they don't feel like they're worthy or deserving of a healthy space. I think it could be very tricky, and that's why you and I are here to kind of bring awareness to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just that word awareness is so important. Just being able to sort of slow down and really look at your situation and and think about the, you know, the traps that you could fall into unconsciously, bringing the conscious to the conscious and really making those wise decisions and being able to choose a roommate that's going to help nurture your path and you can help nurture their path. I think accountability is so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about your journey and what's inspired you to get here and to help others?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I'm a social worker. My little brother was addicted to heroin. And he's actually clean and sober now. He's been sober for 5 years. He's doing incredibly well. But seeing his struggle and his path and the impact on my family, like, really, you know, inspired me to become a therapist and to help people on their path and journey as well.
That's wonderful. That's congratulations for his success.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So you could probably speak to this too, that, you know, someone's addiction or somebody's dependency really does bleed into the family system and affect other people. And then also when someone heals, it propels people in their family in different directions too, like yourself, you know? So yeah. I want to talk about a little bit about the importance of that awareness also, that when we get better, other people get better. When we are suffering, other people suffer, and how that energy is kind of contagious.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And it's been such a cool part of my journey, seeing my little brother get better and you know, try to make his life something that he sees as worth living. And he's just doing so well. And it's wonderful for me, you know, sitting in my office with my clients, helping them really focus on wellness and health in their life and recognizing that they actually have power to make positive changes in not only in their own life, but in the lives of the people around them. So it's been a wonderful career. You know, I'm just so happy that I have the opportunity to help people every day and that I've had the opportunity to create this website for people, because, you know, we've been up for about 3 months now and we have over 2,000 members and we're getting success stories, and it's pretty cool.
That's so awesome. Awesome. And the fact that you I was just thinking as you were talking, like, it's a testament to hope, you know, really there's so much hope out there and there's so much recovery. And I want people that are listening to know that, for people that maybe have been trying to get their life together in whatever way, whether it's recovering from drugs or alcohol, if it's eating, if it's just depression, anxiety, there is hope and there is an end to this and there is a way, there's a path for everybody. And especially like you creating this website is just another tool for people. So when people do join, like you said, you have all these members, do you put them through a screening process, just for people that are listening that are wondering, like, how do I know this person's not a crazy person, or, you know, what is the process for them to, you know, become a member?
So at this point, we don't have a screening process, but we do have a function on the website where, if, you know, if people are misusing it or, you know, being inappropriate, they can block other members and report them to us so we can get people off the site. That's happened a few times, but we're thinking about implementing a way for people to verify their profiles by, you know, adding a background check or a credit check, because, you know, you're going to be living with someone. I think that's going to be an important thing as well. But to, like you said at the very beginning, to not necessarily jump, you know, be impulsive and jump right into something, but to be able to message with someone, get a feel for them, talk to them. Maybe we've heard from a few members that they had a meetup with them, with their sponsors, and sort of got a feel for who that person was before they took that next step. And, you know, really going through the process in a mindful way. So I think, I think that's something that people have been doing. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. You have to interview them just like you would a job interview
for,
or something
for
like
sure.
That. Yeah. And then once they find a roommate, and it works out, maybe they move out a year later, like they still stay in the system and they're still right. You could still keep using.
Totally. There's a thing on your profile. If you click a button, you can hide your profile. So if you moved in with someone and you don't want your profile to be visible anymore, you can make it invisible.
Oh, that's great. That's so great. Oh, cool. Yeah, this is such a great tool. I mean, there's so many people I know that I've been working with, clients that come out here from other cities, other countries even, other places. Yeah. They're not familiar with LA at all. You know, I know people are listening all over the country right now, but I still, even if they don't have access to other cities through this site, I don't know. Is this just for Los Angeles or is this for...
No, so when we, yeah. when we launched it in June, I say we because I started this website with my fiance, Emily. So when we launched this service in June, we were thinking about doing it in just the big cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Miami, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But literally on the first day, we started getting emails from people in Minneapolis and Seattle and some of the smaller cities. So we've actually made it pretty widespread. It's not in every city in the country, but it's pretty much across the country. So,
oh, cool. Great.
Yeah, so if you're also, I want to say to people, if you go on the site and you don't see your town, you can absolutely email us at holler@mysoberroommate.com and we'll add it. We can add that very easily.
Okay, good. So can you say that it's holler or holla?
Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R.
Okay. At mysoberroommate.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah. I think it's just so important for, you know, every single person in any city to be able to access this kind of connection or this information. Because,
totally.
Yeah, it's I think one of the most important things I've ever done for myself was creating a healthy environment. And I know that it started off with, you know, a healthy roommate to begin my journey. And so I know when I heard about your company and this idea, I thought how brilliant, because I really know it's so imperative to begin this journey with that sense of safety. So
yeah, really, definitely. And, you know, a big part of this too is because of the, you know, the sensitivity of the recovery process and sobriety, when you sign on, you can be completely anonymous. You know, you sign up with your email address, but that's not visible to anybody. So you message with people through the website, and you don't have to give up any of your personal information until you feel comfortable doing so. We felt that was really important.
Oh, that is. That's great. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this day and age with technology and, you know, social media and all that, you know, that is going on. I like to talk about this a lot with other professionals in this industry, to make sure that, you know, we're responsible for kind of the information we put out and also responsible for, you know, like, for instance, I have a client, for example, that was living with somebody, never kind of looked them up on social media, never kind of did any research. Not that, you know, social media could be used for good things and bad things these days. People compare and judge themselves, which I just was talking about with my last guest, which could be detrimental to our health because we're always comparing ourselves. So that's, I think, one negative thing about social media. But what the positive thing, I think, about social media is that we do have access to information. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I urge people, like, I have a client that was moving in with somebody, never looked them up. And the minute we did in our session, we saw that there was a police report, arrest charges, like, I think that there is some way to approach social media. So can you just tell me a little bit about how you work with clients for the positive and negative and how you kind of make people more aware of how social media is important since you have a tech company?
Like you said, totally. Well, like you said at the beginning, to be aware of you matching your insides with other people's outsides. You know, most likely people aren't posting the worst looking picture of themselves on social media. So, to try to remember that and not judge yourself negatively because of what other people are putting out there and really trying to slow yourself down. But yeah, to be able to use social media as a tool to find out information about someone, I think that's extremely important. And, you know, as you start to go through the process of meeting someone on mysoberroommate.com or meeting other potential roommates elsewhere, to make sure that you do your due diligence prior to, you know, signing a lease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So,
Okay, good. Yeah, and when you were talking about not comparing your life to someone else's and realizing that it's the highlight reel that you're really seeing. Is that something that comes up with your clientele a lot?
Absolutely. You know, because as I say to my clients that are, you know, coming in here is, you know, if you're here, if you're in my office, you're usually not on a winning streak. So to really be able to to slow down, recognize it, that by just being here right now, you are, you know, you're probably going through something in your life, and to not assume just because, you know, you see Joe or Sally walking down the street with a smile on their face that they're not going through anything. Because everyone's going through something, but to really try to focus on yourself and to not spend your emotional capital on things that are completely out of your control.
Mm-hmm, totally. And I was just, I've been talking about this too lately. Is there, do you, I begin to kind of like think that there is a way to be mindful about lessening the burden of seeing all these images by unfollowing maybe people that cause you anxiety, or, you know, stop looking through Facebook incessantly and comparing yourselves to the images you see, or limiting yourself to like 20 minutes a day on social media. Is there anything, any tips, tools, things that you do actually discuss with your clients?
Yeah, well, I say to my clients to, I break up people's days into 6-hour blocks. So if you're going more than 6 hours without doing something social, that means either being face to face with someone or at least talking to someone else on the phone. If you're going for more than 6 hours, that's usually not going to be restorative for you.
Mm-hmm.
But to make sure that you are, you know, spending quality time with people several times a day. And really, really looking at your day in that way. But when it comes to social media and Facebook, you know, I actually recently went and I did a Facebook purge myself. I went through and I, you know, unfollowed people or unfriended people that I wouldn't say hello to if I was actually in a room with them. So I try to help my clients do that too. To really ask yourself, if I was standing in a room with this person and not say hello, why do I want to know what they ate for breakfast? You know,
right.
To help people sort of make their, you know, make their social circle, their online social circle, one that's going to be one that's manageable and one that's filled with people that raise them up.
Right. And what about something like Instagram, about following people that you don't even know, or following, you know, celebrities or this or that, or people you admire? I mean, those all could be, you know, people could say, well, that inspires me or that motivates me. Or some, you know, someone could say, well, you know, they built a business because they were given $4 million, or that, you know, we don't know the backstory.
Right.
So then we start comparing, or, you know, they have a trainer and they have a chef, or they have a, you know, whatever it is. We don't necessarily always know the backstory. So are you helping people kind of gauge their levels of anxiety around that?
Totally. Yeah. And not, like you said, not to jump to conclusions about people. And I say that, you know, if you're following someone and every time you look at their post or their website or whatever it is, it makes you feel worse, let's probably not do that, you know?
Yeah.
If it's bringing up anxiety and bringing up sadness and guilt, that's probably not a good thing for you to be doing. So,
But people do that. You know, they're not even aware, or they feel like...
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Totally. And but just like you said, to make them aware. So.
Yeah, and this comes also with like old friendships and old relationships. I know that one of the major points in beginning a new life or a more authentic life and recovering in some way is to really clean out your house, like clean out your past. And if there's somebody that is toxic, or an old friendship, let's say, that is not serving you, that has expired, but yet you're still somehow connected to that person or seeing images of that person, and it may bring up guilt or may bring out old feelings. Asking yourself, how is this serving me now? Like, how is this going to serve me moving forward? And I don't think a lot of people do that, because I see and hear this all the time, that, you know, they hold on for fear of, you know, for fear of not being liked, for fear of feeling like they're abandoning somebody, for just every fear you could possibly think of. So how do we get people to see that self-care is more important, and that letting go of those fears is really key?
Well, you know, when you're thinking about relationships, I have people check off three boxes, and the three boxes are, do I trust this person? Do I communicate well with this person? And on the whole, do they make my life easier or harder? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to trust someone and you communicate well and they make your life easier, that's probably a relationship that you want to nurture. But if there's no trust or no communication and they make your life harder, then that's something to take a look and take a step back. And like you said, to get rid of the toxic people in your life, because it's so important, especially in the recovery process, to be able to wake up in the morning and and feel good about who you're spending time with and feel good about yourself and to make wise choices throughout your day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then it also creates more space for new energy to come in. You know, if we keep blocking our energy and our space, our time with people and things that don't serve us or are toxic in some way, then we really don't realize that it literally it gives us no room to kind of meet new people and no room to kind of set those intentions of maybe meeting the healthiest people or the people that are going to propel your life forward, you know? So I think that's important too.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And I just think one last thing before we go is that it's important that everybody understands that, you know, when we do change our identities or change our lives, that kind of sticking up for yourself, choosing self-care, choosing compassion is not something that is selfish, but is something actually that is the healthiest way to be. And I just, I always want to make that distinction, because some people think they're being selfish when they change their lives or let go of friendships or relationships, but that's not being selfish. That's being healthy and wise.
Absolutely. So. And setting healthy boundaries for yourself. That's so important.
Yeah. Oh, boundaries is a whole nother topic, which I'm sure you talk about your clients, right?
Yes, it is, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Jesse, so much. Can you tell everybody where they could find you, give them the website again, and if they have any questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is mysoberroommate.com. If you have a question for me, you can email me at jesse@mysoberroommate.com, or if you just have general website questions, you can email holler@mysoberroommate.com.
Thank you so much, Jesse. This is such a great tool. This is such a great way for people out there that are listening to find someone healthy that you can live with, especially in early recovery. It's imperative that we do this. So thank you so much for being with me. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining me, and stay well.